get things underway, though, this afternoon by getting on the telephone line and welcoming in Michael Hurley of CBS Boston WBZ. Hello, Michael. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. I didn't know that when I agreed to go on that it would be the 2,135th show. So I'm honored to be part of it.
Well, we'd like to have you there on those on the key shows, the ones that people will remember.
I'm honored.
It's a milestone day anytime you're on, Michael.
I would like to get a log and see if there's any sort of a pattern to when I'm asked on. Maybe it's, you know, this every 135 episodes, maybe. I'm not sure. I have to check.
You were last on December 20th. I can tell you that. That's how OCD I am.
That's impressive. That's impressive.
Also impressive is the Houston Astros non-apology tour. What a class organization.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm shocked just in the feeling to hold himself accountable for literally anything, but still, even with low expectations, what Jim Crane did yesterday was just earth-shattering in terms of how poorly you could handle that situation. You're basically expressing indignance rather than being apologetic, rather than being honest, transparent, forthright in anything to get you to believe what you're saying. It was just not there. It was just pure nonsense. And the line that obviously everyone latched onto, which was hilarious, was when he said, "I didn't think it affected the game," and then 1 minute later saying, "Well, I didn't say that it didn't affect the game." But just beyond that, just the lack of accountability, just an absolute mess. I think it's a more, I almost understand a certain part that the Astros are being singled out, doing something that a lot of teams do, but that's because they took it to a level that no other teams took it, and the owner really didn't strike the right tone with his press conference.
Well, and this whole situation, is it possible that Rob Manfred is giving your close personal friend Roger Goodell a run for his money as the worst commissioner in pro sports?
Yeah, I mean, there is, and it was, I'm sensing a push from the reporting in The Athletic and from Jim Crane's press conference and from Manfred's ruling itself that there's a fear of the players' union, there's a fear of, you know, suspending or punishing players in any way. So those players who are all adult males in their 20s and 30s are being painted as like little sheep, little fawns trying to get their footing under them and just following the lead of those who tell them what to do. And I just think it's so preposterous to, on one hand, have the league paint these people as helpless little figures just sort of being bossed around and then only punishing, you know, the manager. When MLB said it was player-driven and player-executed, the only people punished are the managers because they don't have a union protection. So it's an absolute mess, and the reporting from the Wall Street Journal has been way deeper and way more interesting than anything that Rob Manfred came out with, despite his, you know, 86 interviews and whatnot and months of analyzing 10,000 emails and texts and everything. So, there's a lot of, I would say, holes in Rob Manfred's reporting that's since come out. So I think he's being extra careful with the Red Sox one just to try to end the entire thing and not have the Red Sox story beget another story.
And I still believe, I'm not usually a conspiracy theorist by nature, but I still have to feel like baseball came to the Red Sox and said, look, here's what you got to do. Get rid of Cora and we'll make sure whatever punishment you have, it's not going to be much of anything. And so we want to sweep this under the rug. No players will be involved. And let's just wrap this up as quickly as we can. And then people began asking questions.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was a wink and a nod with Jim Crane down in Houston with the same thing, because the Manfred report hit whenever that was in January, call it, I don't know, the 20th, for example, at 11 a.m. At like 11:07 a.m., Jim Crane sat down at a press conference and said that him and Luna had both been fired. So I don't think that was a decision he made within 5 minutes. And then yesterday when Crane was talking, he's like, well, you know, I went above and beyond. They were suspended for a year. I went above and beyond and fired them. And I think that was sort of part of the wink and a nod agreement between Manfred and the team. Like you said, to sort of nip it in the bud, you get scapegoats. You know, no players are punished except for, oh, whoops, Carlos Beltran, who's now a manager. He's going to have to deal with that, too. But all the players, they're fine. It's definitely a poor job. And again, it's not the end of the world, because I think sign stealing is something that a lot of people aren't really keen to. They're not really aware of the mechanisms behind it, of how common it is in terms of, you know, traditional methods of trying to steal them. And it's only natural that if games are on TV and if signs are broadcast on TV and the whole world can see them, that the players are going to see them at some point too. So this, I still, as much as I'd love to kill the Astros for doing it, I mean, the barrel was a bit much. This was always going to happen. And the fact that MLB, you know, led by Joe Torre, I'm not trying to be an ageist, but Joe Torre, who probably doesn't even have cable TV, being in charge of it, again, I'm not trying to be an ageist. He's this very old man who took out a book last year at a press conference during the World Series. The fact that they were so far behind is just so baseball. You know, it's just so baseball to have no idea about technology. And this is, we're talking about TV. It's not technology, really. It's television. So this was always going to happen. As soon as HDTV came out, MLB, you know, dragged its feet, didn't do anything, and this is what they get for it.
I agree. I agree completely on that. And now the Red Sox apparently may not get any results of this so-called investigation until at least the end of the month.
It just keeps going back. And that's the thing where, because every time you hear something like that, you also hear from the report, well, it's not as bad as what the Astros did. It's going to be minor. It's going to be minor. Nothing major. They won't get hit with, you know, the same heavy punishment, which I don't know what's going on. Like, that's there's something fishy. And that's why I think rather than just release the reports and the findings on the Red Sox, I think Manfred wants to release an entirely new policy, because he said the league wants a new policy when it comes to video, in-game, all that stuff, because you can't stop video. I mean, J.D. Martinez is a designated hitter. He's going to go in after every at-bat and break down his at-bat. You can't take that away, because that's absolutely part of the game now. So they're going to try to establish that protocol, and I think they'll say, hey, here's the Red Sox stuff. You can read it if you want, but here is a list of our new protocol and our new measures to prevent against sign stealing and whatnot, because, like I said, I think Manfred wants it all to go away, and if he just releases the Red Sox report and then does something else and then does something else, it just sort of prolongs it. I think he's trying to just wrap it up nicely with a bow.
I wonder, too, if the Astros don't bounce back and have a bigger season. I picture Jose Altuve being much more relaxed at the plate when he's not wearing a shock collar.
I'll tell you, their OBP is about to go up, because I think they're going to get a lot of fastballs to the wrist, at least for the month of April. It's hard to believe they won't, just based on, like I said, you know, any baseball player that's sitting there being sort of apoplectic that this went on is being disingenuous, because it's sign stealing. It's always gone on. Middle infielders, they know how to read signs. They can, you know, let their teammates know in different ways. People on second base are always trying to steal signs. This was just taken to another level, and then it's just a trash can. It's like such a caveman move to be like, bang a trash can. So I think that is what is going to put them in other players' eyes in a really bad spot, because it's sort of like, listen, unspoken rules, you know, unwritten rules, you do what you got to do, but you don't have a guy in center field giving you signals. You don't bang a trash can. You don't do whatever it is. That's that next level. And now that they've been exposed for it, I think that is what's going to get them a lot of inside fastballs in April. So, yeah, like you said, they'll probably be successful because they'll have a lot of guys off first base.
We're talking to Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Let's shift to the Patriots, and let me see if I have this straight. Tom Brady is definitely going somewhere else unless he decides to come back to New England.
Yeah, I mean, covering the Tom Brady story, it's like I've never watched soap operas, but when you check out at the grocery store, you know, they always have, like, soap opera digest there. And just sort of all the storylines, all the speculation on what's going to come next. That's what it feels like with Tom Brady. So, I mean, the most recent was literally just a meme. It was literally just a picture
right.
of Tom Brady and a quote from Matt Miller from Bleacher Report, not from a story, not from an interview, not from a radio show. No idea where it's from. It just says, according to Matt Miller, a former Patriots staffer says that Brady's going to stay and they're going to get Hunter Henry and whatever else, AJ Green. And it's like, that became news. That's where we are in 2020, where a graphic with a picture and some words on it counts as news. So that's where we've gone. Tomorrow it's going to be like a TikTok video that will be news, and then probably a Snapchat post. So it's you got to keep your eyes peeled at all social media these days, because you never know. I mean, imagine explaining to like Walter Cronkite what everyone is covering with Tom Brady right now. It would be a fascinating study.
And I thought we'd hit the lowest point when people were racking their brain to break down what his Super Bowl Hulu commercial meant.
Yeah, that was, you know, that really ramped us up. That really got the ball rolling when, you know, the picture was he walking in and walking out. I reached a revelation that night what's it matter which way he's walking? Because if he's walking in or out, you could make it mean whatever you want. Right. So there was like layers and layers and layers. It's sort of like when I was in school, the Magic Eye books were really popular. You stare at the fuzzy page, and then all of a sudden an image pops up. I never got the image once in my entire life.
Good, because I couldn't either. I thought it was just me.
Yeah. I thought everyone was lying. I'm like, oh, yeah, I see a plane. And I'm like, there's no plane there. So I'm not going to start now becoming an expert in that. I'm just going to sit back, laugh at everyone, and write about it in as lighthearted a fashion as I can. Because honestly, I think it's crazy. But it's being beaten to death so badly that I think when it happens, whatever it may be, re-signing or leaving, it's not going to have like the shock factor or impact that it would have otherwise, because it's like a 24-hour, what's Brady going to do? Brady's going to do this. Brady's going to do this. He's got a house. He's making me a school visits, all this stuff. And it's like, when it happens, I think everyone's going to be like, all right, well, at least it's over. And I think that's the craziest part, is that Tom Brady could leave the Patriots and everything's like, okay, yeah, all right. You know, wrapped my head around that 6 months ago.
Yeah, at least now we know. All right, let's talk about the Bruins for a second, Mike. It's been such an interesting year for this team, and a lot of folks weren't sure how they would respond after coming so close last season. How good can this Bruins team be?
It's funny. I was watching the other night, and obviously Pastrnak has his hat trick. Rask has a good game. They play a good defensive game. I mean, the Canadians are the Canadians, so it wasn't exactly a Stanley Cup-type matchup. But you're thinking, you know, with the trade deadline coming up, like, what do they need? I mean, I don't want to say they're a perfect team, because they're not, but they're obviously very good. And the NHL is different now, where you can field a roster with like Anton Bleed on it and Joakim Nordstrom and Par Lindholm and still be the best team in the NHL. So it's not like you need, you know, stacked lineup one to the bottom. But if they add like an impact player, it'd be hard to envision them, you know, stumbling short of the Stanley Cup final again. I know that Tampa is on a run, and Tampa obviously has tons of talent, but their playoff resume is very spotty. And the Bruins have that experience. They have the leadership. They have the goaltending, the coaching. So we haven't turned that corner yet where you start thinking like, man, this could really get going, because it's hockey and it's too hard to do that. But it's going to be exciting going into the deadline. If they can actually make an impact move, they haven't been great at that in recent years. Jaromir Jagr was a blast to have around and stare at and be like, wow, Jaromir Jagr's right there. But I'm not sure he was the missing piece needed for that 2013 team. But it's going to be fun, because those long runs are pretty much the best thing in sports.
Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, WBZ. Good to talk with you, Michael. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And by my accounting, we'll check in with you again around show number 2160.
Sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your 2135th show. I appreciate it.
I will do that. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
Michael Hurley with us on Downtown. Our Boston Insiders are brought to you by the Ground Round. Happy hour pricing 3 to 6 and specials during games. Great service, amazing food. You're locally owned and operated. Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.